Message number two in our series, carols. Oh, Come All Ye Faithful is the carol we're going to talk about this morning. One of my favorite things about Christmas is Christmas music. I don't know if you all like Christmas music. I sure do. I look forward to Thanksgiving Day for several reasons. For the food, for the family time together. That's always fun. For watching the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special. A Cowboys game. There's always a Cowboys game on Thanksgiving Day, thanks to Hank Schramm, way back in the 60s. There's always a Cowboys game on Thanksgiving, and this year, we were blessed with a Cowboys game in Dallas, so that was even more special. All of those things are special to me at Thanksgiving, and the other thing that I look forward to for me on Thanksgiving Day is that's the official day that I can start listening to Christmas music without feeling weird. I mean, it's not officially Christmas for me until Thanksgiving Day. Whenever we travel to be with someone on Thanksgiving Day, Jack and I will usually take our bag of Christmas music. It used to be CD or cassette, then it's CDs. And now really we don't even bring those anymore because we just tune into our XM satellite radio channel, and there's two or three Christmas channels now, so mostly we just listen to that now. But on our way to wherever we're going on Thanksgiving Day, we'll listen to Christmas music for the first time. For me, the Christmas season and Christmas music begins Thanksgiving Day. When we're listening to Christmas music, I wonder, do we ever listen to the words of the song? I mean, really listen to them. I know many of us know the words, right? We sing them without missing a beat while we're celebrating. But do we think about what we're saying as we sing those familiar Christmas carols? That's what we're trying to do a little bit during our series, is to think about what we're singing when we're singing those familiar Christmas carols. And so this morning we're considering the carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. O Come All Ye Faithful was originally written in Latin, and it was given originally the title Adeste Fideles. I can hear Bing Crosby singing that right now, maybe. It was written by John Francis Wade, who was an 18th century hymnist. It was translated into English in 1841 by Frederick Oakley. And that's where we get O Come All Ye Faithful as we sing it today. It's a carol that has stood the test of time and has been sung throughout the ages, including, of course, today. And we sang it just a few moments ago. O Come All Ye Faithful is one of my favorite Christmas songs. I especially love the chorus. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. You know, even though this song did not exist when Jesus was born, I can imagine the shepherds actually experiencing that chorus. Can y'all picture them gathering around as they stood around the manger that Jesus was lying in, and they adored him. Ah, so small, so sweet, so vulnerable. Yet, they had just been told by a choir of angels that this helpless little newborn infant was going to bring unending joy to the entire world, to all of mankind. Surely they must have adored him as a sweet infant and had adoration for him as the Savior of the world, even their Savior. The words that I want to focus on this morning in the chorus are in the very first line of the carol. O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Now, how many times have we sung those words through the years? You know, hundreds of times, right? We've sung that first line. How many times have we sung those words but felt anything but faithful, joyful, and triumphant? You know, as you sang them this morning, did any of us feel anything but faithful, joyful, triumphant? Maybe sometimes when you sing those words, you might feel doubtful, depressed, defeated as you're singing them, because of what's going on in your life. You know, if that song is calling only the faithful, the joyful, and the triumphant, you know, maybe you think, maybe I shouldn't come at all because I don't feel any of that. Have you ever been there? Are any of you there right now? Maybe it's the faithful part that we struggle with sometimes. Anybody ever struggle with remaining faithful? Ever come to church thinking, boy, I sure haven't been the Christian I should have been this week. I said some things, I did some things, I thought some things, I know they weren't right. I promised this week I was going to read my Bible every day, and I was going to pray throughout every day, but I got busy, and I didn't do it again. That ever been you? When you hear the call, oh, come all ye faithful, you think, well, that sure wasn't me this week. Or maybe that hasn't been me for a while, not just this week. I've not really been faithful in my walk with Christ for a while now. I guess I can't come and adore Him if only the faithful can come. Maybe for you, you've never placed your faith in Jesus at all. Might be somebody here that's in that situation. You still struggle with doubt and fear about doing that. You know, what if I give my life to Jesus and I discover that it's all just a ruse? It's just superstition. I don't see a need to make such a big deal of this child that was born 2,000 years ago if it was just some normal, cute little baby. Nothing special. Maybe for you it's the joyful part that you struggle with, of the call. You know, joy seems far away from you right now, maybe. Rather than joy, you feel depressed, lost, lonely, afraid. There's been a loss in your family of a loved one, or a financial loss, or a career setback. The loss of good health for you or for someone that you love. For you, joy seems far away. Maybe you think, well, I guess I can't come and adore Him. I'm far from joyful. Maybe it's the triumphant part that would keep you from coming. You don't feel triumphant. You feel defeated. Maybe your marriage feels like it's failing, and you feel, or you feel defeated financially, or your walk with Christ has just been languishing lately. There's not a lot of high fives in your life right now. Well, before we base our spiritual status on the way we interpret a song that was written in the 1700s, let's take a look at what God's Word says about who exactly God calls to come and adore Him, to come to Him. Jesus calls the weary and the burdened to come to Him. That's who He calls. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus is not just looking for everyone whose life is just sunshine and roses. That's the only people I want to see around me. I don't want depressed people around me. Jesus doesn't reject anyone with a frown on his face. No, Jesus is especially looking for those who are weary and burdened, who need to be lifted up. That's who He's calling. Jesus calls sinners. Matthew 9, 12 through 13, Jesus said, on hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call the righteous. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. I have come to call sinners, not the righteous. You see, it's almost like you could rewrite this chorus a little bit, and you could make it, oh, come all ye sinners, ye weary and burdened. You come to Bethlehem and adore Him. But here's the thing. Here's the good news. And that is that while Jesus calls the burdened and the weary and the sinners to come to Him, He doesn't just leave you there to struggle through those circumstances. He may call you in a state of being weary and burdened. Or you might be in a situation where, you know, I've tried to put my hope in everything else in this world, but nothing seems to be working for you. And then we realize, you know, what I really need is Jesus. in my life, and we come to Him, and when you call on Him, the Bible tells us that something beautiful happens to the weary and the burdened and the sinner when they come to Him. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Listen to what Paul wrote. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. We may come to Jesus weary and burdened and broken. We all come to Him as sinners, every single one of us. But when we get to Jesus, according to the Scripture, we become something different. We become something brand new. The old that we were is gone. Something new happens to us when we come to Him. What is it that we become when we come to Jesus? Well, as we think about this chorus, how about this? When we come to Him, He helps us be more faithful. He helps us be more faithful. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Jesus pioneered. Jesus marked out the course of our faith for us, the what and the who to believe in. And then when we come to Him in faith, He helps us perfect it. Helps us to grow in our faith. Paul wrote in Romans 10, verse 17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. You know, hearing God's word builds our faith, helps perfect our faith, helps us grow in our faith. When I just think about how God has preserved His word, it's an amazing thing to me. Through the centuries, God has protected His word. So many have tried to discredit God's word. So many have tried to render God's word irrelevant for a modern world today. Yeah, what happens? The works of mankind is what fades away. And God's word lives on, no matter what, because God has protected it. You know what? I love visiting people with Steve Haggerty. For one reason I love visiting people with Steve Haggerty is because he's just a nice guy. And he loves to talk about hunting. You know, we like to talk about hunting, things like that together. And I like going with him because he's kind of forgetful, sometimes like I am. Yeah, like I am. Which makes me feel like I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one that forgets things. So that makes me feel good. That's right. But another reason I love going to visit people with Steve Haggerty is that I love to hear how he uses Scripture to help us see God working in our lives. If you've ever had him read Scripture to you, you know what I'm talking about. Steve has a great way of making Scripture speak to each individual and the issue that you're facing. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And Scripture can do that for us at any time. It can help us whatever situation that we are in. And if we read it every day, and if we let the Holy Spirit guide our understanding of it as we're reading it, we will see our faith grow. It will get stronger. It will be more and more perfected. As followers of Jesus, as the new creation that we become when we come to Him, forgiven, redeemed, justified. Remember, justified means we will not face punishment for our sin. We can indeed come to Jesus at any time, a faithful person. A person daily growing in our faith. We can be the faithful person that we want to be. But we can't do it on our own power, and we can't do it on our own strength. We will fail if we try to, oh, I'm going to be more faithful today. I'm just going to try harder. If that's our plan, it'll fail every time. But we can grow stronger with God's strength through daily hearing His Word and listening to the Holy Spirit speak to us. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful. Jesus can help us be more joyful. And speaking of Scripture, in the New Testament, joy is spoken of as a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, joy is something that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, produces. Joy is not something that you and I can produce. When we try to produce joy in our life, you know what it's like? It's like an apple tree trying to produce an orange. It ain't going to happen. You know, the Spirit, you might think of this, the Spirit is the joy tree. He's the tree that we pick joy from. And if we want joy, we must let the Holy Spirit produce it in us. Joy is a state of gladness. It's a state of contentment, of well-being. You know, that state of mind, a joyful state of mind, can be experienced as a Christian no matter our circumstances. What is it that keeps us down and depressed in life? Isn't it our circumstances that does that? You know, our health, our relationships, our financial status, our job. You know, when things break down, when people let us down, it's our circumstances that keeps our head down, that keeps us from lifting our head up, that attacks our happiness, our circumstances. But we need to understand, happiness and joy are two completely different things. They are not the same. Someone cleverly put it this way. Happiness depends on happenings. You know, what happens in our lives determines whether we're happy or sad, right? We get a new car. What? Happy, right? We're happy. We get our first payment on that new car. Sad. Oh, forgot about that. Clean bill of health after our annual physical. Happy. You know what I do? After, if I have a clean bill of health from my annual physical, I make a beeline to McDonald's and get an adult Happy Meal, a Big Mac, every year, and fries. But then, troubling test result from the doctor. Anxiety, worry, sadness. There's nothing we can do about how the world happens around us, is there? Ultimately, we have little or no control of our happenings. And if life was nothing but dealing with happenings, if that's all it was, our head would stay down all the time. But thankfully, we have the joy tree living in us. Living inside of us. And if we will let Him, the joy tree, the Holy Spirit, can produce joy in us despite our happenings. And so while happiness depends on happenings, joy depends on Jesus. You see, when life happens and that happening is sad or hurtful or inconvenient or threatening, the Spirit can help us see, can remind us that our happenings don't define us. Our happenings don't define us. The Spirit reminds us that this world is not our forever home. These circumstances are only temporary circumstances, temporary happenings. There is a hope. There is a thrill of hope, as we talked about last week, that the weary world can rejoice about, be assured of. Because I know Jesus, I know that there's more to this life than this world that I live in. I have a spiritual family, like you. I have you to lean on. I have promise that from God that there's going to be a blessing that will come from any suffering that I go through, any trial that I go to. I have promises that my needs will be met if I put Jesus first in my life. I have promises that one day, when this short life is over, I will live in an eternal home where no evil exists. There are no bad circumstances in heaven. So even in the midst of my happiness, because of joy, I can lift my head. The shepherds heard it first about this joy, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." With Christ, we can come to Him joyful. Not because of our happenings, but because He has given us the fruit, the gift of joy. And finally, you see where this is going. Jesus helps us become more triumphant. More triumphant. Sometimes our happenings leave us feeling defeated. Anything but triumphant, right? Anything but a winner. As most of you know, you blessed me and Jackie with the wonderful gift of achieving one of the things on my bucket list, which was attending a Dallas Cowboys home game in Arlington. Thanks to you, on Thanksgiving Day, Jackie and I were sitting in great seats in AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, watching my favorite NFL team play the Buffalo Bills. It was a wonderful experience that we will always cherish. The result of the game was the Cowboys lost. After a great first drive resulting in a touchdown by Jason Witten, which I had his jersey on, right there in front of us, you know, it was pretty much downhill from there for the Cowboys. My team lost that day. But you know what? My head was still up. My head was still up because I was constantly being reminded that my spiritual family loved Jackie and me enough to give us that wonderful gift. Jackie and I felt very triumphant after that game. Not because of the score, but because of you. Because of you. No matter what life throws at us, we always emerge as winners when we know Jesus. The book of Revelation can be confusing sometimes. The Boston small group's been studying that, and I'm sure there's been some times where it's like, what? What's that? What are these images and symbols? You know, they, sometimes we leave the book of Revelation wondering, what did that mean? But as some have said about the book of Revelation, all we really need to know is the ultimate message of the book of Revelation, which is what? In the end, what? We win. In the end, we win. I don't know what all that means, but in the end, we're in heaven, Satan's in hell, and we win. In the end, when all the happenings are done and they, after they've tried to beat us down and after the dust clears, we will still be standing triumphant because Jesus defeated sin and death on the cross for you and me. Because He was triumphant, we are triumphant. We will live in His presence for eternity. Triumphant. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of His government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. That was a prophecy by Isaiah that was given about the triumphant Jesus hundreds of years before He was born that night in Bethlehem. That little baby, as He laid in that manger, He is the King of Kings He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the author of life. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the author of our faith, the perfecter of our faith. He is the one who spoke everything into existence. He is the bread of life. He is our salvation. He is the lifter of our heads. As the song says, He is born the King of angels, and we come to adore Him, for He is Christ the Lord. Now that's pretty triumphant. So yes, no matter what, we can come to Him faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Not because of anything we have done, but because of who He is and what He did. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. Father, I thank You for that wonderful night that Jesus was born, as He brought a thrill of hope to the world. Thank You, Father, for the triumphant Jesus who gives us victory. Thank You for the triumphant Jesus who gives us joy. Thank You for the triumphant Jesus that takes our weariness and our burdened hearts and our sin and just turns it into something new and perfects it and helps us grow. Thank You, Father, that no matter who we are or what we've done, we can any day, any time, come to You faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Father, thank You so much for Jesus. And I pray if there's somebody here today that doesn't know Him, that they'll come to know Him. And Lord, if there is someone here today that's feeling defeated, that's down, that has their head bowed, that is struggling with faith, that You will help them see that they can have the victory over all of that through You. Father, we thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.